Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday. Today's episode of You're Welcome is brought to you by the good folks over at BetDSI.com. Guys, this is an A-plus rated sportsbook site. BetDSI basically offers anything you want to bet on, from major sporting events to politics to reality TV, pretty much everything. Go to BetDSI.com right now. Use the promo code CHAEL25, and you are going to get $25 for a free wager just for registering. If you decide to deposit, you will get a 200% match on your money. You get $25 free. Free bet. But if you want to make a deposit, they will give you a 200% bonus. Go to BetDSI.com right now. Use the promo code CHAEL25. These guys have made a reputation, not only on great odds, but for making it easy and fast for you to get your winnings. So go over there and kick their butts. Okay. A little bit of news coming out. Jacob, did you see the big talk was this Conor McGregor, Paulie Malignaggi knockdown. Did you get to see the video?
I have not seen the video, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So I did see the video. Dana released it. Apparently they had done 12 rounds, and this was just maybe a 5-second video. I mean, it was very quick. So to make any kind of judgments based on that right out of the gate, yeah, it's being unfair. The other side of it is this is all that we have to base a judgment on. I will tell you, the knockdown, I thought it was a knockdown. Paulie thought it was very clearly a slip. I don't think Paulie's lying. I think that there's just a difference in my idea of a slip or a pushdown, as Paulie put it, versus MMA's. You know what? We got a call in right there. I think that's Bobby Lashley. Will you connect him? I want to come back to this thought. Will you remind me of this? I always lose my place.
Will do.
All right. Maybe we'll get Bobby's take on it. Maybe I should just ask Bobby Lashley what he thinks of it. Bobby Lashley, are you there?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on, buddy? Hey, we were just talking about, did you see the footage of Malignaggi and Conor, that real brief sparring footage that Dana put out?
I did, yes.
Hey, that was a knockdown, right? I mean, I'm not calling Paulie a liar. I'm just saying I think that perhaps he has a different definition of what a pushdown is than what you or I as wrestlers may consider. That was a knockdown, no?
You know, they were showing the video over and over and over again from different angles, and I see both sides, because when Paul was saying it, Conor had his hand over his head, and from where he was moving, if he's moving in the same direction with his hand on the back of his neck and moving into the side, that could cause you to fall over.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's
what it looked like. But then also it looked like from another angle, it looked like Conor hit him. It looked like Conor pushed his head down and then hit him on his way down. Or it looked like it was very hard to see.
Yeah, and you know, so many people were calling Paulie a liar, and it's like, well, hold on with that. Hold on about that calling him a liar. Let me remind you of this, Bobby. Do you remember when Overeem fought Stipe? And Overeem got on the mic afterwards, and he told Joe Rogan, I felt him tap. And so they play it back, and Joe's like, there was no tap. And Overeem's like, yeah, you're right. Well, he wasn't lying. He was just wrong. You know, I guess my point is sometimes when you're in the heat of that battle, you don't know yourself. You kind of have to go back and watch it yourself and go, oh, okay, now I have a different opinion. Oops.
Right. And he said that too, because I heard his little interview that he had earlier, and he said something like that. He was like, you know, seeing it back, I can see how I do it, but still, look at the back of my neck and how he was guiding me around. It looked like he pushed me down. I mean, he got hit.
He got hit.
He got hit a lot.
Yeah.
He got knocked down where it hurt him. I don't know about that, but he got hit. He did get hit.
Yeah, and see, I agree with you there. When you talk about he got hit, and, you know, in fairness, look, they went about 36 minutes, and we saw less than 5 seconds. But in that 5 seconds, just to speak to that clip, I was stunned at how many times Connor was hitting him. And not only was he hitting, I mean, he was really connecting. He understood range. He understood how to get to his target. He landed that big left hand. I thought maybe the bad news for Connor was that left hand that he landed was full power right on the button, and nothing happened. I mean, Pauly just kept going. Right. There was no knockdown, knockout. I thought maybe that was a little bit encouraging for the Mayweather team if they saw that. But I was kind of blown away with how many shots Connor was landing at his activeness, at his output. Again, it was 5 seconds, but that's what I saw.
Yeah, I'm torn on that because I did see him. He did hit him, but if you go back at it and how he was hitting him, like some of them were like slap punches as he was going, as he was running away and hitting him on his head. I mean, he was doing a rougher style, which we expect because that's what Connor's going to do, and that's what we hope he does to Mayweather is charge, rush him, and make it really dirty. But maybe that's how he's working. Maybe that's his planning going in, just to make it look like that. Because it didn't seem like here we have technical boxing where we have 1-2 rolling and stuff like that. It was more of just like jumping and fighting.
Yeah. No, yeah, he did. He looked aggressive. And one thing about Connor is he does have good cardio. I mean, you can't question it. And he does push that pace. And that's so relevant when a guy's dealing with stress and this sold-out event and taking on the best ever and something he's never done. I think that his lungs are going to hold up. And if they do, it does make it a little bit more interesting. I don't give him much of a chance, but as the fight's getting closer, and now I'm armed with some of these clips that I saw of him connecting against a former 2-time world champion, I can't ignore that. He looked really good in the 5 seconds I saw.
Do you think he has a chance?
No.
Not even a chance of beating him. I'm saying a chance of even putting us through that little, is Connor going to get him? And then... because we know he's not gonna finish him with that. But do you think he's gonna get enough flurries to actually put Floyd in jeopardy?
No, I really don't. And it's just a simple case of put myself in his shoes. I know if I was to go on and take on the world boxing champion in my weight class, it's not going to last very long, and that's just the reality for me. And I just, you know, what else can I do? I got to follow that basic rule of put somebody else in your shoes. So no, I certainly don't. Do you?
I don't see it happening. I mean, Floyd's so elusive, and you know, a lot of people say, oh, but Floyd, his last few fights, he hasn't been knocking guys down. Man, he's fighting amazing guys every time. So it's not like he can just go and knock out somebody that's coming in like a Pacquiao. If I don't knock him out, is it a bad fight? No, absolutely not. That guy is that good. And at that point, it's a complete chess match. Whereas this fight is not going to be so much a chess match for him. It's going to be, like a checker match. It's going to be, he's going to move away from certain things, and he's going to sting him a few times. I think he's going to finish him. I mean, kudos to Connor for taking the fight, and man, a hell of a good job on promoting this damn fight, because he was saying this years ago. But Floyd's Floyd, man. And on top of it, Floyd has so much shit riding on his back. I think Floyd's going to deal with more stress than Connor. If Connor overwhelms him, he might get a little flurry one time. Because Floyd, man, if he beats Floyd, Connor can jump on the mic right afterwards and say, I've never boxed before and I beat the best boxer that you guys have. I am the greatest and boxing sucks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and don't think that he won't. Yeah, no, he will grab that mic, say, I run boxing, and he's already got it planned out. But see, I'm with you. So you and I as amateur wrestlers will understand this better than a lot of people that I could articulate this to. But when we got into the sport, man, we were doing it for one reason. It was for that pat on the back, whether it was from your dad, your teammate, your coach. But that was all we got. And we worked so hard every day, twice a day, just to have somebody pat us on the back after a match and say, good job. And, you know, Floyd comes from that amateur background, too, with boxing. There was no money and no fame. He was doing it to get that pat on the back from his uncle and his father. And one thing that I have noticed as this fight gets closer, Bobby, is he's not going to get that this time. Everybody is expecting him to win. Nobody is going to tell him, good job. It's gonna be, well, yeah, you beat a guy that's an amateur that's never done this before. The fight shouldn't have even happened. And I can see by Floyd's interviews that he doesn't love that spot. He does still want some of that amateur accolade of hey, I went into a contest, I went out there, I executed, I won, and I want people to tell me good job. And he's just not quite in the same position mentally as he has been for the 49 before it. And I don't know if that makes a difference or not. I'm just noticing that it's a real thing.
Yeah, I think it makes a difference because we all know Connor's going to cut the single best promo in sports history if he wins that fight. But what is Floyd going to say? What is he going to say?
Right.
Nobody wants to hear him. All the boxers are going to be like, shut up. What are you saying? You're not going to beat him up? Shut up. The guy's never boxed before. And that's what everybody's going to say. So what is he going to say? What is he going to brag to Connor by himself? Ooh, I beat you. Come on, bro. Connor's going to be like, all right, we'll fight me in an MMA fight.
Right. No, you're exactly right.
You know, and everybody's asking me the same thing, and I'm glad I'm talking to somebody from wrestling world, and they're like, man, it's going to be a good fight. I'm saying, hold on a second. I said, you know what? And I'm going to give it a closer range than how far this is away. I said, it's equivalent to when GSP is running around. They said, GSP, he's a great wrestler. Okay, if you put GSP in a wrestling match against Jordan Burroughs, who's going to win?
30 seconds, tops.
And that's what I'm saying, and that's I don't think people understand that part of I guess martial arts, that there are levels to this shit, and he is there. It's a huge gap in levels.
Bobby, I have been stunned. I have been stunned at the disrespect that people have for boxing. I respect boxing. I think it's a real sport. I've been in there. I've been in the gyms. I see how hard the guys work. I know what the rounds are like. I really respect it, but I have been blown away at how many people don't. How many people think a guy who's never done it can go in and take out the best to have ever done it? And it's kind of floored me. I've kind of stood back and go, wow, I've been so close to the trees. I didn't see the forest. I just didn't realize the perception of boxing is just two guys with gloves on throwing punches at one another. It's not true. This is a sport, and it's an art.
It's ridiculous. And I think a lot of the fighters, the MMA fighters, including myself, that have gotten in the ring with actual boxers and not even close to Floyd's level, just in their training camps for MMA, it's like I bring boxes in and I go train with boxes, and it's amazing some of the stuff. That's where you see the sweet science. That's where you see how good some people actually can be in just straight boxing, and then Floyd's the best. Man, it is a disrespect because people keep saying that, oh, he has a puncher's chance. I'm like, you guys don't understand what you're saying. Puncher's chance means the guy off the street hitting the heady bag. We're talking about, does Pacquiao have punching power? Does Mosley have punching power? Floyd's not fighting guys that don't have punching power.
Yeah.
But then they have better setups and they have better everything else. So it's not like he's fighting, he's fought a whole bunch of slouches. There's nothing that Connor can bring to Floyd that Floyd hasn't seen a million times, except just like a crazier style of fighting. But with that, you know how it is. If somebody comes at you crazy, those are the easiest people to beat because they're going to beat themselves.
Sure. Sure. And you know, to your point, I just fully agree with you, but, you know, to your point, you know, when you get a guy that doesn't have the experience, you know, Connor is going to do stuff weird because it's wrong. It's not as polished. It's not as technical. And is that going to be a little different for Floyd? Yeah, a little bit. But that whole puncher's chance thing, Bobby, we see it in MMA a lot because there's so many different ways to get to the guy's chin, so many different setups and fakes. In boxing, there's only a couple of fakes. You know, you got the flinch and you got some different stuff you can do with your feet. And then you've only got four punches you can throw. You got a jab, a cross, an uppercut, and a hook. It's not the same thing as MMA where you hear about this puncher's chance and anything can happen and crazy stuff. Man, I got to go back 20 years to find the last time that a puncher's chance kicked in, and I got to go back another 10, Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas, to find that. You know, the first example I was talking about would be, when Michael Moore got knocked out by Foreman. But again, I'm going back two decades. It's just not a real thing in boxing.
Right, and those ones that you spoke of, Buster Douglas was not a punk. He wasn't a punk. Buster Douglas was still good and a pretty accomplished boxer at the time. So it was that's just out of the picture. What I did say is this, and everybody knows, and that's where everyone's going right now is, as we were talking about earlier today. I said at least it's something for people to talk about.
Yeah,
I mean, they're giving us something, and that's what we need. I mean, there's going to be those times on every car, and that's what I like with Bellator. What Bellator has been doing on every car, there's those cars, there's those fights on there that are pure spectacle fights, and then there's those guys that are those fights on the car that are super technical. You need both. Because you need people to put the asses in seats, and this one is going to do that. It's going to do, because like people are talking about, people that never even watched a boxing match, all they know is the stuff that they've heard about Floyd and watching him burn $100 bills on Instagram, and they're like, well, Conor can beat him, but they're talking about it. So they're going to be watching it, and they're going to be buying the pay-per-views, and they're going to be doing all this stuff. So it's something to talk about, and I mean, that's where everybody else is going, because right after that, John Jones is like, I want to fight Brock. And if everybody's calling out these money fights, because that's what really matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I have no problem. I'll tell you, as a fan, I have no problem with it. And there was a little bit of a period of time where Bellator was criticized for it. But now they're praised, where people are going, well, yeah, the UFC kind of controls this middle area of the younger and the up-and-comers and guys pursuing titles. But there's still a room for the other two ends of the spectrum, which, to use your phrase, the spectacle fights, the fights that people really want to see. Maybe they don't have the same meaning for rankings, for relevance, for contendership. Maybe they don't. But they're still the fights people want to see. And that's a really great business model. Look, the UFC kind of controlled the middle area. So if we're going to jump in the space, let's go to the other two ends. And it was a very smart play, and the ratings reflect that.
Yep, yep, absolutely. And they do that. They do it all the time. They'll put on. And I think it's good for the fighters, because some of the fighters hate it. They're like, I can't believe Brock for this. That, like, wait a second, you're on the card with Brock, and that card did what, 2 million? So you have 2 million people that seen you before they got to Brock. They're not just going to see Brock. You have more eyes on you. So here, put on a show and make yourself famous. And I think that's what Bellator does. Bellator is like, hey, let's put these little, let's put, you know, some of the fights that we've seen in the past. Come on, with, you know, Kimbo doing Shamrock and some of those, and rest of folk. But those fights are great because they draw a huge rating. So everybody else is out there. Now we see the pit bulls, and now we see all the other guys that we really want to push and get some eyes on. So those guys can build a fan base, because those guys are getting famous because of the rub off, the spectacle fights, I guess.
So Bobby, tell me about you. What's next for you? You got a contract with Bellator, and you're doing all sorts of stuff with wrestling. I mean, what's next for you? Jeff Jarrett's promotion? Where are we going to see you land?
Well, you know, I'm still doing stuff with Impact, and that's going great. I mean, that's a passion of mine. I love professional wrestling. I never want to give it up. It's just a thing. I mean, I could step away from time to time, but it's always going to be there. I spoke with Kogan and Coker. I have 5 fights with Bellator so far. I've won all of them. So right now, I'm looking for that bigger fight. I mean, right now, everybody's looking for the money fight. So money fight or bigger fight. There's a title open in the heavyweight division that they're looking at doing, possibly a tournament. They talked about that for some time. Or a fight that would either get me to the title, or a fight that's going to give me more money.
Sure.
That's what I'm looking for. And I know that they have some stuff coming up, and we're just kind of looking at the dates and comparing them to the wrestling dates so that we can find a good time so that I can get a complete training camp and then really go after some stuff. So I'm ready. I mean, I've talked with the guys, and we just have to put it all together, and I think this week we'll be able to put it together.
So let me ask you about somebody. Jack Swagger has kind of dipped his toe, at least in the thought, of going MMA and specifically Bellator. I have no update on him since he was first thinking about that and asked for his release from WWE. Do you got any talks there, any insight with what Jack's going to do?
Man, he might be in the dungeon training. I hope so. He has that wrestling background, so I'm always cool with that. He knows how to train. I have no idea what he's doing. I seen him on the House of Hardcore. I think he was on their card. Outside of that, I don't know. I don't know if he's still in that period, because WWE has that 90-day wait period before you can really do anything. So I don't know if he's still in that period or if he's out. I have no clue.
And how are things going over at Impact? Are the crowds picking up? Are the shows picking up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're doing a lot of different things. Right now, I think it's cool what they're doing, because they're sending us off to different promotions. Like, I just went up to Toronto, and I did that Smash promotion up there. It's a good promotion. I wrestled this guy, Mike Bailey, Speedball, so he had a different style, more of a martial arts style. But we're going there, so we're actually mixing in with some of their crowd and taking some of their people, moving them back and forth. It's something different. It's like back in the old school days where we just kind of, like, trade different territories. And I think that's the way to go right now. Because you're not just going to go up and beat WWE. WWE is like beating the UFC tomorrow. It's not going to happen. But I think that what we have going on, John Hannigan's coming. That's going to be a big deal. They got a lot of good storylines. Jeff's super creative, and Jeff never stops working, and it's cool working for him. So I think he's gonna do some big things. I think we have some storylines coming along that a lot of people are gonna want to take a look at.
So amateur wrestling. Let me tell you, the first time that I ever saw you, and I don't know if we got to meet, but the world's so small, we all know each other. You were like in between weight classes. You were wrestling at 211 pounds, and you were so big and so muscular. One day I watched you weigh, and I thought, man, that guy's got to weigh 250. You got on the scale, and you were 3 pounds underweight. You were 208 pounds, but you looked so big. And I remember, you know, U.S. Open where you'd be fifth, and you know you'd be one of the guys and the hardest guys to beat. And I remember watching you and going, man, if that guy even weighed the weight class, you know, let alone got to cut 4 or 5 pounds like some of these other guys, he'd be the national champ right now. So was that frustrating for you to be right in between there?
Yeah, because when I first came up, I was dropping all the way down to 187.5, which it was 187 and it's 211. So when I was at 187, man, I was cutting like to death, like 2 ounces away from death. And then when I went up to 211, it was like, man, now there's bigger guys here. I've never been really heavy. I always lie on my weight. But, yeah, I mean, if there was a 198, man, I think I could have made a good run. I had I wrestled at the World Team Trials when I was at 211 in 2003. I lost in double overtime by a criteria point to, I think it was Hartung, then ended up winning it. That was the only match I lost. So everyone else, I kind of ran through. So it was just getting that adjustment. That last year was my adjustment year. I think 2004 would have been a pretty good year for me because I would have been able to put the weight on and kind of balance out at that weight class.
Do you still follow wrestling? By example, the World Championships are next weekend. Do you still follow Kyle Schneider and what he's got to go through with this Russian kid coming up?
Yeah, man. That guy is incredible.
Which one? Who are you referring to? Kyle or the Rush? Yeah.
I'm going Kyle.
So let me tell you something going on right now. This has been kept pretty quiet, but I'm going to make a little noise on it right now with you. So, all right, you know about the Russian that I'm talking about. They call him the Russian tank.
Yeah.
Okay, so he moved into Schneider's weight. Two-time world champion, Olympic champion, Schneider. World and Olympic champion. Schneider, 21. This guy's 20. So they're kind of parallel each other. Now they're in the same weight class and they're figuring it out. So the way the worlds work is there's a seeding process. It used to be blind draw. Like when you were wrestling, it was a blind draw on the scale. Well, now they have a seeding process for the top four. Everybody else gets blind drawed in. The Russians, underhandedly, are trying to compromise this and avoid that match from being in the finals. They don't want the Russian tank, Sajilov is his name. They don't want the tank to take on Schneider in the finals after having four matches. They want to do it right out of the gate. So Sajilov, because he moved up a weight, is not eligible for a seed, so he will be drawn in. And the Russians are currently trying to manipulate UWW, and I don't know how they're going to do that with a blind draw, but they're working on it. They want that match early in the day, like first or second match. And that's not right. I mean, it's not right, but when you have state-sponsored doping and other things that Russia does, it's not outside the realm of possibility that those gangsters are up to something.
Why don't they want to wrestle him in the finals?
See, I agree with you. That was my first question, too. I go, wait a minute, you're not taking an old man against a young guy. As a matter of fact, the Russian tank is 1 year younger than Schneider. If Schneider can go 4 or 5 in a day, then this guy can go 4 or 5. I have the same opinion as you. It's like, why? But I'll give you the answer as they see it. So this Russian kid went through the Russian Nationals. He teched his way to the finals, and then he had a one-point match in the finals. And the Federation just decided, well, you know, he's a little better early on than he is later. I don't know that I agree, because in the World Championships 2 years ago, he tech-falled the Cuban in the finals in 91 seconds. I don't think this guy has a problem wrestling 5 matches in a day, but the Federation does, and those crooked bastards will stop at nothing. I mean, there's nothing that will stop them.
Yeah, man, they're so dialed in that there's probably a reason outside of that. I mean, it could be just a mental, like a little mental fuck that they're trying to do with Kyle Snyder. I don't know. Like, I know how they are. I mean, they do all kinds of stuff. But when I went down there to wrestle down there, I bet the Russian in the finals also. And he's the same way. And it was like a little mental game that he was playing the entire tournament. Like kind of very childish.
Yeah, the whole thing gets very weird, and it gets competitive on a whole different level. I respect the competitiveness, but when they start fooling with some of the rules, it's not right. But let's say they don't pull that off. Let's say they don't get whatever crookedness they're after. It's still, and again, I don't know if you know this because they just changed the rules. I don't know how close you follow it, so I'll explain this again. They're going to seed the top four, and Schneider's eligible. Even though this guy's defending two-time world and defending Olympic champion, he did it down a weight class. Therefore, by the seeding rules, he does not qualify for a seed. So this Russian tank will just be blind drawn in. He could legitimately draw Schneider in the very opening round. Now, we're all hoping they're on opposite sides and we get the big buildup and the finals, the main event type thing, if you will. But, you know, when you're dealing with the worlds, it's so damn hard. Neither one of them's guaranteed to make the finals. As good as they are, they're not guaranteed. So let's just do this right out of the gate, man. For me as a fan, I'm ready to go. 9 a.m., let's see it.
Right.
It's fine with me.
I know that the powers that be, the coaches and everything like that, might be battling that point, if they are. But, man, I really don't think Kyle cares.
I'm not sure he does.
I think he's ready to go. Because he's been doing this stuff since he's in high school. So he's always been kind of the underdog where he was supposed to excel, and he's done it. So I don't think it really matters to him. I think everybody else is playing the whole chess match as to who goes against where. Because you never know until they actually draw. So he may draw, and then they just wait till their time battling this thing anyway.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And then if they do match up early, based on what you and I just talked about, it's going to sound like there's a conspiracy. It could just be a straight shoot, and it's just where the guy draws. But it is an incredible storyline, and you don't see many incredible storylines in amateur wrestling ever. And now we've got, you know, arguably the biggest one, and it's going down the same day as Floyd and Connor. It's going down August 26th. It's just a good time to be a fan.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. All right, guys, I want to tell you something. Look, we all want to eat better. You want to know where it's hard, Jacob? It's really hard with snacks. Got all sorts of good meals now. Snacks is actually a pretty tough one. Sometimes it's like the whole world is delicious in a billion calories versus boring and tasteless. Well, guys, it doesn't have to be that way. And now it's not that way anymore thanks to Nature Box. You can up your snack game. Nature Box has over 100 snacks that taste good and are actually better for you. All snacks are made from high quality, simple ingredients, which means no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. You can feel good about what you're eating. Get over to Nature Box. You're sure to find your new snack obsession right now. They add new snacks every single month, inspired by real customer feedback, the latest food trends, and all from professional chefs. It's simple. Go to naturebox.com, choose the snacks you want, and Nature Box will deliver them right to your door. And there's no risk. If you ever try a snack and you don't like it, don't eat it. Nature Box will replace it for free. And right now, you're going to save even more. Nature Box is offering fans of this show 3 free snacks with your first order when you go to naturebox.com/chale. That's naturebox.com/chale. For 3 free snacks with your first order. NatureBox.com/chale.
Hey everyone, it's former WWE host Lillian Garcia. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder how your favorite stars make it to the big time? Then come check out my new show, Chasing Glory, with Lillian Garcia on podcast1.com. Hear me chat with some of your favorite athletes and entertainers about their rise to the top. It's about to get real, raw, and inspiring. So join me for new episodes every Monday on podcast1.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
So let me ask you this. What do you make of the heavyweight division of Bellator right now? I know you're talking about that they don't have a champion crowned, but they did just sign Roy Nelson. You know, that's your weight class. They did, Mitch Rione's over there now. They just announced today Frank Mir has signed. He's not going to debut until early next year, I think April or May. But they're making some big plays. I mean, there are some some new bodies there for you. Jack Swagger, who I brought up earlier. I mean, there are some guys now. If Bobby Lashley wants to come back and get a big name, they're out there.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. It's definitely interesting, and I think the matchups are interesting. Like, it is an interesting matchup to think me against Roy. I've never even met Roy, so, but I know what he looks like. I know how he fights, but that's an interesting fight. And then I trained with Josh Barnett, and Josh fought him, and I was in his training camp during the fight. So we would just basically do the same thing, but it's a very interesting fight. It's a very interesting matchup. Mitchell, knocking out Fedor was a big boost for him, so that's an interesting matchup. I think there's a lot of interesting matchups. I don't know what they're going to do for the title, because I know at one point they were saying they were going to do a four-man tournament. If they do four-man, who are the four? Are we talking about Harry Konoff, Kongo, Bistrion, Roy Nelson? Is there a space for me? I wonder. So I have no clue. I have no clue. It is interesting. It's interesting matchups. If somebody wins it, are we going to say they're the best heavyweight in the world? I don't think so. But I think there's some interesting matchups, and I think it will be a great chance to bring some other guys in. Because I think, pretty much know a lot of the other guys are going to be moving over. So we will start bringing some other heavyweights over.
Sure. No, I hear your point on that. And there really is no better way, in fairness, and this sport is very unfair, but in fairness, there's no better way than having a competitive architecture of a tournament, a playoff-style situation, till one guy's left standing. I mean, that's what you come from and I come from, and this sport isn't there yet, but if somebody wants to put that architecture in place, it's the one way to know who is the best.
Right. Yeah. The old tournaments.
Yeah. All right, Bobby, you got anything else you want to get off your chest? Hopes, goals, dreams, anything you want to share?
No, man, it's a big honor to be on this podcast and do something with you, man. If you're still doing the submission stuff, man, I'm game. I've been training. I'm ready to go.
Oh,
I just want to do as much as possible.
Oh, I'm going to reach out to you about that then. There is a guy, Warren Brooks. Warren Brooks is looking for a match at heavyweight. I will fill you in. I will call you after this show. Thanks, Bobby.
Beautiful, man. I appreciate it.
You're the man. See you, pal. All right, Bobby Lashley, what a cool guy. Hey, I never knew. He and I have actually never met. That's our first time talking. But we used to weigh in together. I mean, in our underwear. We were in the same room together. He was freestyle, I was Greco. So I'm on one end, he's on one end. We just never met. But that was kind of cool for me. I mean, I kind of felt like I was reunited with an old friend, when the reality is I was just meeting somebody for the first time.
Yeah, you sounded like you were buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what a great guy. And, you know, he was very opinion. See, one thing that drives me nuts is really, it actually kind of pisses me off. When a guy's in a sport, and for Bobby, amateur wrestling, okay? And he has a high level of success, and Bobby did. And then he leaves the sport and moves on to something else. And Bobby's professional wrestling, MMA, all of a sudden he's this big deal. Everybody knows who he is. And then he doesn't know anything about his own sport. He doesn't follow the amateurs. I don't know why I don't like that, but it's a pet peeve of mine, and I just find it insulting, and he knew all about it. He knew all about Kyle Schneider. He knew about the Russian tank. He knew the world championships were next week. I just really respect that. When guys come from something, it's what helps them make it, and then they just turn their back and go, well, that's behind me. I get why someone would do that. I don't know that I have the right to have a negative feel about that, but I still have it. And I just thought it was cool that here's Bobby Lash, big star now. Everybody knows who he is. He follows his roots, man. He hasn't turned on any of those guys. He knows his weight class. He knows the foreigners. He knows the world championships coming up. He puts our own Kyle Schneider over. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's kind of that mindset where it's just like, I'm going to focus on me. I'm just going to do what I do. And if that works for some people, it works for some people. I think it's good for some people to focus on what's right in front of them. But yeah, not holding on to your roots and remembering all that stuff, sometimes that keeps some people grounded. That sounded like what he was doing.
So, don't you owe old Chael an apology? Weren't you supposed to keep me straight and bring me back to that Connor Pauly talk?
Yep.
No, I'm doing it right now. You forgot the same way as I did. Okay. I want to tell you this thought, though, because, again, I got to be fair on this, that it was 5 seconds. Okay. I understand all of those things. I don't want to hear about it. It was 5 seconds, but that is the 5 seconds we're speaking to. Connor was finding shots. Here's the bad, and I was very impressed. I was impressed with his conditioning. I was impressed with his output. Even in those 5 seconds, Connor throws 13 punches. He also avoids punches coming at him. I mean, these are really promising signs. Here's the bad news. One of the punches Connor landed was his patented left hand, the same one that put down Jose Aldo to win him the world championship, the same one that put down Eddie Alvarez to win him a world championship. That same left hand landed powerfully, clean, flush, on Pauly, and nothing happened. Pauly did not stumble. He did not take a timeout. He did not fall down. And that has been one of the big talks into this fight. Skip Bayless yesterday was interviewing Randy Couture on his show, and I saw it, and Skip's a big Connor supporter. He really thinks Connor's going to win this fight. And one of the things that he pointed out was, this puncher's chance we're talking about. Well, he's got so much power, and he's going to land it. He is a powerful guy. I get that. But people do have wrong. He's not as powerful as Floyd. To start with, he's not as powerful as Floyd. People don't understand that because Connor's been putting people down and Floyd hasn't. But the data is wrong on that. Who they're throwing punches at is totally different. MMA guy's ability to roll and bob and weave versus a boxer who's absolutely trained on it. It's not the same focus group. Connor landed the big shot. If he catches him, it's overshot. He landed that on Pauly on that 5-second clip. Oh my goodness, it was hard. I mean, Pauly's head went back, his face smushed in, spit went flying, sweat went flying. It was this incredible, incredible visual picture. And Pauly kept fighting. And I just think if you're Floyd, that's probably the biggest takeaway you get. I don't think anybody gives a damn if he was knocked down or fell down or pushed. I didn't think that was either here nor there. I thought it was the rest of it that was more relevant. And Connor did land that left hand, and it was beautiful. This is absolutely a compliment to Connor. I'm also a southpaw. I cannot land that left hand without a setup. And Connor doesn't even set it up sometimes. In this case, he did not set it up. He throws it like most people would throw a jab. Like, you just throw it out there, see where the guy's at. Boom, he does it with his crosshand. He's so fast he can do that. Vitor Belfort used to do that in MMA, where he would lead with the cross. And just people would be stumbled. He'd come marching in, boom, 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 fight's over. I think if you're Floyd, you take a good look at that. And you say, wow, that is a good left hand. That also didn't do a damn thing to Pauly. Sweat went flying in the face, smashed. And here you and I are talking about it. But Pauly was still standing.
Well, here's the thing you have to think of, because while you were talking with Bobby, I did pull up that video, and I saw the punch you're talking about. Did that jab have anything to do later on with Pauly slipping or getting knocked over?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point by you. And so many people will use this comparison, and I'll use it too, but it's like chopping down a tree. It doesn't go on the first chop. You're chalking away. You're taking little bites out of it for later. That's an excellent point by you. And yes, it probably did. That punch, the body punch, the hook, just the whole bit. But yes, it all adds up. It's accumulative. It adds up for later. I hadn't considered that, but I do concede to you on that point. So that is a real thing. My thought on it, though, and the reason I brought it up is Floyd is not going to get hit with that left hand very often, if at all. The reason being, this is a master of being able to watch a guy, know what he does, analyze it before it comes, and get out of the way. See the setups and see it coming. Now, Connor is a master of being able to land it anyway. Eddie Alvarez knew it was coming. Jose Aldo knew it was coming. Dennis Seaver knew it was coming. Max Holloway knew it was coming. Chad Mendez knew it was coming. They all got hit. You know, if you remember, Mike Tyson uppercut everybody and let you know, I'm going to uppercut you as soon as this fight starts. The great fighters knew it was coming. They all got hit. So one doesn't wash out the other. I do think it's reasonable for me to say that Floyd is likely going to see that left hand coming better than other guys. This is what he does. If a couple get through, and they may, some of these may land. One did on Pauly. Pauly's also great at seeing him coming. He didn't see this one. He took it flush. I mean, oh my goodness, he took a hard shot. And his legs didn't buckle and he didn't go down. Now, that isn't an insult to Connor's power. One, there was some headgear on there by Pauly. That helped a little bit. And two, the gloves are just different. It's not an insult to Connor at all, but the gloves are different. The guys, you know, Connor had talked about this after he fought Nate. He said, you know, the bigger man, he was just a bigger guy, went up in too much weight. I was hitting him with the same shots that would have put people down and put people out and have in the past, and he didn't go down or out. I didn't really know how to deal with it. It surprised me. It zapped my energy. I was stunned at the shots he was able to take. Connor's going to have that same experience on some level. It already is. He already knows about this from the practice room. But when he puts on those gloves, those same shots just don't have the same impact.
Yeah. At the same time, it's you have to go think of this from Floyd's perspective too. Floyd is going to throw those same punches. Wait, here's a thought. What's the weight difference between these two guys?
Well, it's going to be sizable. I talked to a boxing guy. So the weight class is 154 pounds officially. However, what I am told by guys in the know, Floyd will weigh in. In fact, I think it was Kevin Lee. It was Kevin. When Kevin was here in studio and he's been to the gym with Floyd, into Floyd's gym, Kevin said that Floyd will get on that scale after breakfast, just what he weighs, not sweat out a single pound or die at one single second, about 152 to 153. Connor's going to get on that scale at 154.0, go rehydrate and get in that ring just under 170. So what's the we'll call it 170, we'll call it let's just call it 154, not the Floyd. Well, that's 16 pounds. That's not considerable. That might sound like a lot to you. That's not considerable.
For boxing?
Yeah, for boxing.
Because I know they make a big deal about the weight class, a very big deal about the weight class in MMA. You make your weight, you make your cuts, you weigh the same thing. But that almost feels like it could be in Connor's advantage because, I mean, for once, he's the bigger guy, right?
Sure.
Yeah, he can throw in that extra mass at Floyd, and Floyd, if that's the case, though, with boxing, Floyd's used to that. And Floyd, I've seen Floyd. He's a small guy. He's a small-looking guy. But he's used to that at this point. So he's like, yeah, I don't care how big you are.
Guys are just so sensitive in boxing. And you know, when you come back to the mental side, they're so sensitive. Like, I can sit here and tell you 16 pounds doesn't matter, but I don't have to be in the ring in 8 days with a guy that's 16 pounds bigger. Floyd is just brought up differently. You know, boxing, to give you an example, boxing weights are separated by 3.5 pounds. Some of those weight classes are 3.5 pounds. You got a world champion. You got another world champion. He's under 2 kilos more than you. But in boxing, those guys are trained. You fight the guy the same size. No 3.5 pound difference. I mean, Golovkin and Canelo had to go through this big contract dispute before they could finally settle in on a weight class. It does affect them mentally, if not for anything else. And I think the only intangibles that Connor has is the mental side. Whether that favors him or disadvantages him, it is an intangible that nobody can quantify. And he is a master of dealing with pressure. I was blown away by his conditioning in his open workout, for one. But even in this video we saw with Pauly, we saw a former two-time world champion who was very tired, should have been. But we have a guy who's never done it before, who's under high amounts of stress, whose body's broken down because he's training, he's dieting, he's on a media tour, he's not sleeping much at night. We saw him pushing the pace. Mm-hmm. We saw him throw 13 punches versus Pauly's 2 punches in a 5-second clip. And that's relevant.
And that's a 5-second... Okay, it takes 5 seconds to win a fight. You can be losing...
Oh, bet so your ass. Great point.
The whole fight, and then, 5 seconds, the game's over.
Oh, great point.
Yeah, that's all Connor needs. So Connor's like, yeah, I just took out the 2-time champion in 5 seconds. Who cares? Who cares if those punches maybe earlier on didn't land? Who cares if that was a 20-minute round and I didn't land anything? Whether you debate how he fell down or not, he fell. He was on the floor. That's what you want to see your opponent do in boxing. So Connor's like, Floyd can walk away and go, yeah, your signature jab didn't work, so to speak. It didn't floor him right there. But Connor's going to be like, hey, I got him on the ground.
Yeah.
That's all they need. So if they both walk away happy from this thing, yeah, that just makes the fight that much more interesting.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. The things can change so quick, and it really doesn't matter what happened before. If you have the right 5 seconds. I was in a world championship fight with Anderson Silva. I had some great moments in the fight. He had a few great seconds. He won the fight, and I had people make excuses for me. Oh, but you know, you did so well, or you were whipping. No, don't do any of that. He won the fight. The fight is over 5 rounds, and if the guy can find the right move or right strike or right, what you fill in the blank there, and he only does it for 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 seconds, he wins. Don't make any excuses for it. And at the same time, let's not make any for Floyd or make any for Connor. Let's at least go into this thing and admit whoever gets their hand raised is better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want that to happen. I mean, I sit over here and I tell you Connor's got absolutely no chance. But I also want to be fair about this. If Connor wins, he's a better fighter. There's going to be no lucky punch talk or Floyd's too old. Stop all of that. You know, I just had a back and forth with Teddy Atlas, of which I was very respectful of. And I hope this comes off as respectful because I do respect him. But at the very end of his analysis, he did make a point, and he was just being fair. And he said, it does worry me a little bit that Floyd has been out of the ring for 2 years. Everything else he said, he used the word annihilate. Floyd's going to annihilate him. This is no contest. Annihilate. He used that word over and over. But at the very end, he said, that is a little bit alarming to me. It's like, Teddy, hold on. Now, let's be real fair here. Floyd hasn't been in the ring in 2 years. Connor has not boxed in 28 years. He's never done it. So let's not let nothing to feather a nest. Okay, let's both sides. Let's just take it on the chin, however this goes. If MMA gets over on boxing or boxing gets over on MMA, but let's just take it for what it is. And let's all agree that on Monday morning, we don't make any excuses for the other guy. We just accept the outcome.
Right.
I think those athletes deserve that. More than anything, I think the athletes really do deserve that.
Here's another curveball. That same thought, though. Whoever wins, doesn't matter who wins, but who would be the better athlete? I'm not talking about fighter. I'm talking about competitor.
Sure.
I'm talking about mind games here. I'm talking about the guy who's willing to push harder.
Risk more.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you asking me to answer that now?
Kind of.
Because it's very tough.
It's a weird question. I don't think many people want to actually say that, because I'll throw out my opinion. I'd say it's Connor. If Floyd comes out tomorrow and says, hey, Connor, after this fight's done, I want to take on you in the cage, I would probably say, you know what? Floyd's got guts here. Because same thing, we're not even going to, we've said this several times. If Floyd and Connor fight MMA style, we all know who's winning that fight. We all know who's winning this fight, though people are giving Connor that fighting chance, which is fine with me. But at this case, Floyd hasn't said anything.
Sure.
And you were saying, like what Bobby says is, if Floyd wins this fight, no one cares. Like, what does he say? What does he say? I took out the... It's like saying, yeah, I beat up the tiniest kid on the playground, the big bully beating
right.
up the
but
tiniest kid.
But I won.
But I won. And everyone's like,
yeah, but he was tiny. But I won.
But I won. Yeah, who
but
cares?
He was tiny. But I won. No, that is the interesting spot. And Floyd's not doing anything wrong. It's just what he signed up to do. But I am seeing it start to affect him. I'm seeing it with his interviews. I saw specifically when he talked to ESPN's Stephen A. Smith and he started burying himself. Well, you know, Connor's younger and Connor's bigger and Connor's a little faster and he's a little hungrier and I've been in this too long and I haven't. You know, he started really putting himself down. It's like, no, the psychology here, Floyd's not putting himself down. Floyd's just trying to get himself used to this brand new environment. No matter if he's walked out there 49 times and Connor's walked out there none, Floyd did walk out there with a certain expectation, which was, I'm going to get a pat on the back. I'm going to impress some people. I'm going to show these doubters. And that's just not what's going on right here. Everywhere he's around, he's having to focus on training because we're like, come on, we don't got to train for this guy. This guy's never even done it. This guy's an amateur. And Floyd's having to be real disciplined and go, we do have to train for this guy. There's still a potential for 12 rounds in front of us with a bad son of a bitch, and Connor is. And when you ask who the better competitor is, that's just a debate that we really can't quantify, but I do think there's some major sides on Connor. You know, don't forget, when he took out Jose Aldo, he did it at a time that no man had beaten Jose in 11 years. 11 years. On top, 5-round fights, and here come Connor riding in out of nowhere and did exactly what he said he was going to do. He then goes and takes on Diaz. It doesn't go well, and he demands the exact same environment, the same rounds, the same weight class, the same opponent, the same spot on the card, being the main event, all the same pressure. He even did it in the same city, for that matter, of Las Vegas. I mean, everything the same. That's a sign of a true competitor. And he found a way to turn the tides, to close the gap and get in his favor. He then goes and takes on Eddie Alvarez. $17.1 million gate. First time in Madison Square Garden. All the intention on the world on him. Walks through all that pressure like it's nothing. I mean, like it's nothing. And goes and takes care of business. Yeah, this is something special here. This is something really, really special here. And then he calls his own shot, goes over to boxing, but is going to get in there with the greatest to have ever did. You know how scary that would be? What if I told you right now, Jacob, forget about the money. Forget about your time on Showtime and pay-per-view and HBO. Forget about all that. You got to go fight a man half naked in front of the world with your ego on the line in sport you've never done, and this is the greatest killer to have ever done it. Does your stomach drop real fast and you go, I got to do what?
Yeah.
Yeah, real fast. If I put that in perspective for you, like I just did, you just go, oh, crap. right? This is a, you're not asking me to go play basketball.
That money better be worth it.
That's right. You're not asking me to go play checkers with the guy. You're not asking me to go play poker against him. You're telling me I'm going to go fight him? I got to go fight this. And if he knocks me down, I can't just stay there. The ref's going to count and give me time to get, and then I got to go do it again. This is what Connor signed up for, asked to do it. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
It really is very impressive.
Definitely.
You know, the what-if side of it, if he was to win, I mean, just forget it. Close the book. Greatest ever. He's the real-life Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Everything that Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris and all the, you know, these fake guys were told, it's real. It becomes real. Guys, whenever you're in the market for a car, and it doesn't matter if it's new or if it's just new to you, go to TrueCar. Desktop, www.truecar.com. If you're on a smartphone, that's probably how you're listening to this show right now. Go into your search engine, type in TrueCar, download the app. Here's how it works. When you're looking for that vehicle, go in virtually, type in the year, the make, the model, the color. Go build the car you want. Type in your zip code. It will tell you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. At that point, you will be connected with a TrueCar certified dealer. You will work out the price. Most people saving $4,000 off of the MSRP. You'll know what lot to go to. When you get to the lot, your car will be there. The price is already done. You know exactly what you're getting. There is over 11,000 TrueCar dealerships in this country. No more buying the old way. Falling in love with an ad, doing your homework, looking things up online. You guys remember Kelley Blue Book? Thinking you're arming yourself because you saw some Blue Book price? Those days are gone. If you're getting a car, new or used, for yourself, for your wife, for your loved one, for your child, new or used, use TrueCar. You will thank me later. So, what do we do now, Jacob? What do we do now? Do we have anything else to talk about? I mean, I've about had it. I thought Bobby was a great guest. I thought we broke down the Pauly Connor thing about as effectively as you can. Good moments for Connor. Listen, it's a promotion. They're going to put out good moments for their guy. I'm not saying there's anything there, but I would love to see the other 12 rounds. But Pauly himself said, in the later rounds, Connor got me. I thought Pauly was very open about it. I do disagree with Pauly. My definition of a knockdown versus a pushdown is different. I don't think he's lying. I just think we might have different definitions. And I thought that Connor had a great output. I thought he was finding his target well more than I would have imagined he'd be able to, even for 5 seconds. And the downside was he did land that left hand, and oh my God, did he land it hard. And nothing happened with those big gloves on, and maybe the headgear fits in there too, but Pauly absorbed it and moved forward. That's just what I saw.
It's getting closer, and the suspense is building. And yes, we're going to see more. I hope we're going to see more of this stuff, because it's just fun to think about and fun to talk about.
It's fun.
It's so great to see what Connor might do, what Floyd we also might do, and then what's going to happen afterwards. I think that's also what we're really excited about,
yeah,
too.
Plus, Connor showed up to this open workout in his own robe. And it was made by Versace, which was so on brand for the McGregor, you know, the whole big thing. It was just cool. Listen, I can't deny it. He's a cool guy. He does cool things. He really does. Hey, did you see this? I hated that this happened, but since we've discussed it on the show, let's do it one more time. You remember when Floyd tried to tie some of Connor's comments into racism, and I told you how Levitard tried to lead me down this jungle. What in the hell do I have to do with it? I'm not going to talk about this topic. Well, Ariel Helwani did that to Connor. He goes, hey, what do you think about this? You know, you had said monkey to Floyd, and he went off and called you a racist about it. And Connor just goes, man, and you could just tell by his body language. He goes, man, I would never insult any kind of a race. And he the perfect answer, right? Leave it at that. No, Connor goes a step further. He goes, and you know, Ariel, if I was to compare him to an animal, it wouldn't be the great. Do you know what I'm about to say? Did you see this? He goes, it wouldn't be the great ape. And Connor actually means it. So I knew why Connor said it. Some people didn't. He goes, I wouldn't compare him to the great ape. Well, the relevance there is he represents Straight Blast Jim. Their mascot is a gorilla. So Connor really does hold that. And so let me get back to the quote before I get off. He goes, I wouldn't compare him to the great ape. I compare him to a rat or a weasel, because that's exactly what rats do. They try to twist people's words and make them look bad. And I thought as Connor went deeper and deeper into this thing, there's an old expression by Mark Twain, when you're in a hole, quit digging. I thought he got himself out of it, actually. I thought, you know, the answer to that is no. The end, that's it. There is no other explanation that's good when you're in this kind of a, you know, do you still beat your wife topic? Okay, it's a gotcha question. Ariel put it out there. And I just thought the way Connor handled it, I watched it again, and I go, you know, he's on the fence here. I just assumed this topic went away for him because I know that wasn't what was in his heart. But boy, I thought he pulled it off. He said, I call him a rat or a weasel because that's what rats do. They try to twist people. I thought it was a great idea. What do you think?
It's almost like Connor was like, really? You'd give me that much doubt on how bad I could insult someone if I was really trying to come right after him like that? And he's like, come on, guys. You know me better than that.
He got himself through it, and it showed a level of intelligence. It really did show a level of intelligence. All right. Anything else from you? Anything else?
Let's do it again.
Let's do it again. Until tomorrow, for Jacob, for Bobby Lashley, I'm Chael, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.